special two-part episode in which Duncan talks about his work with the Holy Guardian Angel. Part 1, The Long Dark Night.
For quite a time now, I've been working on the invocation of my Holy Guardian Angel, which I've seen described as a kind of magical puberty, something a magician does to arrive at magical maturity. And the work has been going quite well, although it's been harder and it's taken longer than perhaps I would have hoped for. It started off quite dramatically. I got a vision of the angel, I had a name, I had some very bizarre synchronicities occur, which blew me away at the time and convinced me beyond doubt that this entity is real in a sense very unlike any other entity I've come across before. Strange to think about the idea that something can be more real than something else. You would have thought that reality is a kind of binary state. Either things are real or they're not real, but that is how I feel about this thing. And I think I'm being drawn into saying this because the stuff that happened when I first made contact with it, it communicated with me on a transpersonal level. The communication seemed to span more than one mind. It wasn't just something coming from my mind. Someone else's mind was involved in as well. This seemed to talk very strongly to me because it seemed like the entity was showing me how I need to develop, that it's very much into the transpersonal realm that I need to develop, and that the angel will guide me if I manage to make contact with it. Shortly after that, I started on quite an intense round of devotional activities where I was invoking the angel, I was talking to it, some visions of it. I was reciting mantras constantly. I was meditating, doing yoga. A lot of the things were things that I normally do, but they were being dedicated in the angel's honour. And this climaxed in a stunning meditation session where I managed to attain to a level far beyond anything that I'd attained to before. I remember after the meditation I had to go out somewhere. I can't remember what it was now. I remember walking down the street, and even though the experience was already an hour or so behind me, the remnants of it was still with me. And I remember looking at people in the street and feeling very open and very easy and relaxed and not self-conscious and not locked in myself at all, in a way that was quite amazing and which stayed with me for quite a time. This was the climax of what I was doing, although I didn't know it at the time. I was sort of labouring under the fond illusion that there was going to be more and more and more, but that wasn't the case. Afterwards, the angel seemed to kind of withdraw, and the communications I had from it were very kind of terse, and it was telling me that I was on my own. What it did was it sent me a communication that I should communicate with it through the runes, which is not a system that I have much expertise in, not something I'd used before. When this happened, I kind of wondered if it could be true, because the runes still seem to me quite a blunt instrument for divination. I'm not as comfortable with it as I am with tarot cards. Through the runes, the angel told me that what I needed to do was, couldn't expect any help from it, but it was up to me to cultivate joy. The rune that appeared was the rune for joy, Wonjo. And since then, when I've been back to the angel to ask for guidance on various things, this rune keeps cropping up more than would seem likely. But there was a definite sense that I was being told not to bother it, to get my head down, to concentrate on Wonjo, joy, which I interpret very much as referring to those transpersonal realms I've already spoken of, where the distinction between self and other, in particular, seems to collapse. And since then, things have got difficult, very difficult. That stunning meditation session that I had now seems a dim and distant memory. The meditation's got very hard and very cruel. There have been times when I felt very full of despair because my mind just seems so unruly and so full of crap, I think is the only word. In a classical sense, what's happening is I've entered into what's called, in the context of meditation, the long dark night. In terms of the Holy Guardian Angel working, I suppose what I'm doing is I'm crossing the abyss. The angel's on the other side of the abyss, and I need to kind of take myself over there. And there has been really deep, really serious suffering. I'm quite serious about that. The meditation has been so painful. I've had session after session after session in which I've made no progress whatsoever, and in fact it feels as if I'm going backwards. I did actually start regular meditation a long time ago when I was interested and quite active in a local Buddhist centre. And back then, I started off meditating, had some success, things seemed to be going well. And then I hit a wall when things started to feel very unpleasant, and eventually I stopped. Now, I've started meditating again, and, you know, I've had a practice that's been going for a couple of years now. And I've hit the same wall, but I'm older and wiser now, and I know that these setbacks are part of the process that happens when you meditate regularly. There are periods when you advance, there are periods when that advancement stops, when you meet obstacles. And also, the fact that the meditation starts to feel unpleasant is a sign of some attainment, because it means that you're confronting the fact that our daily experience is characterized by suffering. You're coming face to face with that suffering. You're coming up against that dualism and the way that desire constantly frustrates and alienates us from ourselves. But what I've been experiencing more recently has been different. Very different. There has been all the suffering, but I think it's fair to say that my mind has been unravelling. Strange. Doing this work in the context of the Holy Guardian Angel working, it gives you a sort of framework where you can have these most appalling experiences, and yet it contains them for you. You can fall apart, but because there's a framework to that, because you know why you're falling apart, it can happen, and you can bear it. I've had some most strange, most appalling experiences. There was one where I couldn't stop distracting thoughts going through my mind, and at one point every thought in my head suddenly assumed the form of a demon, and I saw my thoughts as a mind full of demons over which I had no control and about which I could do nothing except sit and suffer while they rampaged all over me. Another one, I've been confronted again and again with the falsity of thoughts, the amount of sheer crap that I entertain in my head. I'm having thoughts, I'm having ideas, I'm having fantasies going round and round in my head, and they mean nothing, and they're so illusory, so false, so devoid of any value, that it makes me wonder how I even managed to function in the course of the day. There's such crap going through my mind. On the mat, I was experiencing all this stuff, and there was one moment where my whole mind just turned into a mass of pink, crappy, tacky, chintzy rubbish. Some sort of glittery, girly stuff that was worthless and cheap and useless. And that was my mind, and that was what I was stuck with. And it was quite soul-destroying and quite devastating to realise that that's what you are, that's what you're trapped inside. But I carried on, I pressed on. I've been thinking more and more about how magic can open doors that you cannot close. And I really think that that is the case with me now. I've had these insights, and I can't stop here, because if I do stop here, then those sorts of experiences, the ones I've just talked about, are the ones that I'll be left with. And who would want to be left there? You just have to keep on going. And I do have faith that there will be a breakthrough, that the Holy Guardian Angel is waiting on the other side of the abyss, and that it is attainable. And I think I'm onto something, because another one of the experiences that I had was, again, I was sitting meditating, and there was a realization in me about how fake and how weak my mind was. And I had in my mind some sort of idea was sitting there, and I was looking at it and realizing how fake it was. And suddenly, from behind this idea, an entity emerged. There was a person, a personality, and it stepped out from behind this idea and introduced itself to me. And it said that it was the root of my mind. I'm the root of your mind, it said. And that false thing that you've just been looking at, I put that there. It was me, I put that there, I'm responsible. Now, I'm the root of your mind, and I am as deep as you can go, and I put that there, and that's the sort of thing I do. So how can you hope to get past me? How can you ever hope to attain enlightenment or awaken or attain any useful state of consciousness when I'm against you, when I'm the root of the mind, and these are the sorts of things that I can do? You cannot get any further. And when this happened, I was absolutely appalled to begin with, because what it said seemed to be true. But as I thought about this experience more, it sort of occurred to me, why would something like that, if it was what it said it was, why would it go out of its way to represent itself to me like that? Why would it take the effort to discourage me in that way? And that gave me some confidence, because it seemed as if I was onto something, and that forces within my mind were trying to fool the rest of me into giving up and not continuing. And I'm at the stage now where I know that I'm stuck. I know that I'm in the middle of the dark night and I can't seem to make any progress. But I can't give up, and I do have faith that I will get to the other side. And I imagine a lot more shit is going to be thrown in my direction, but I am determined to see this thing through. I've been reading the work of Daniel Ingrams, who has released onto the internet a free ebook called Mastering the Core Teachings of the Buddha, and that book has blown me away because it was fantastic to encounter the writings of someone who seems to have mastered the art of meditation. This guy seems to be able to do stuff with his mind that I can only dream of, and it's incredible. It's like watching a trained athlete at work. When you read through his stuff, he's been there, he's done it. To begin with, to be honest, I found this fantastically discouraging, you know, to think of the effort and the skill that Daniel Ingrams must have had to develop in order to get to that state. But that initial envy and dismay has now turned into resolve, I suppose. I really want to engage with meditation. I see it now as something that can be learned. You can work at it and you can get better. It's like anything, it's like a kind of sport in a way. The more you practice, the more you get better. So to that end, some time ago, I booked myself onto a 10-day meditation retreat. The date of that retreat is looming. Today is Wednesday, and the retreat starts on Tuesday. It's less than a week now. So next Tuesday I will be getting up and taking a train, and then I have to make my way, according to some incredibly obscure directions, to a bus stop in the middle of nowhere, where hopefully a minibus will pick me up and take me to this meditation centre, which sounds like it's at the bottom of a very deep, dark valley that no one has any hope of finding for the next 200 years. You're not allowed to take any reading materials, no writing materials, no objects or practices of a religious nature. Which is interesting, because in order to do the retreat to fulfil its conditions, I will temporarily give up on the idea of the Holy Guardian Angel. I'm going to renounce the Holy Guardian Angel, even as I sort of undertake this ordeal, which I see as a means of helping me over the abyss and taking me towards it. It's an interesting paradox, but I think it's a meaningful paradox as well, to sort of get to your Holy Guardian Angel through the vehicle of giving up on it. It seems to me a pretty powerful, magical practice. That's what I'm going to be doing. I would do a ritual before I go away on the retreat to, you know, invoke the Holy Guardian Angel and formally sever my relationship with it for the duration. Now, I have a sneaking suspicion that this might be the very hardest thing I've ever done in my life. The idea of not having contact with other people, the very thought of that, I find really difficult. People say to me, oh, you'll find that easy. You know, I'm sort of not noted for my tactile outgoingness as a person, but I think it's going to hit me hard. It just seems unimaginable to me at the moment. I think I can see what they're doing. What they're doing is they're stripping away everything that distracts you. I mean, that's what a retreat is, for God's sake. They're stripping away everything that distracts you, everything that comforts you. And then the most comfortable place for you to be will be in the meditation. That will be the only place that I will have left to go, to sit on the cushion and to focus and to try to attain that concentration and that bliss. Because everything else will seem pretty shitty, so there will be nowhere left to hide. And it's gonna be hard. But I'm up for this. It's been horrible, the experiences that I've had, the feeling of my mind coming apart, the feeling of the angel being so distant on the other side of the abyss, feeling of being on my own, being left to get on with it. It's been hard, and I'm really up for this as a means of bridging that gap, as a means of getting over there, and I know it can be done. And I'm also hoping that I can make a breakthrough with the meditation. Now, I'm not assuming that this is automatically going to happen, because it's not. It's just not something that you can take for granted. Like recently, as a warm-up for the retreat, I spent a whole day meditating. I meditated from 9 o'clock in the morning till 5 o'clock at night, with a break for stretches every hour and an hour off for lunch. And because I thought, you know, I was having a problem with the meditation, I was thinking that this would power me through. I could blast through all the obstacles. And I sat there for 7 hours and I felt terrible and I got nowhere. I just sat in an awful, distracted state for 7 hours. So I'm not under any illusion that just because you meditate for a long time it means that you get anywhere, if your state of mind itself doesn't facilitate that. If you're blocked, you're blocked. So I'm not going with an assumption I will attain anything, but I am going with the intent to do my best, because spiritually the place I'm at now is very grim. I can contain it because it has a ritualistic container around it. I can deal with it, I can cope, but I don't want to be left spiritually where I am now. I've opened doors that I can't close. I can't close the door, I need to walk through and find out what's on the other side, because the place where I am now is grim and I don't want to be here. But I have faith that attainment is possible, and hopefully I can find the willpower to get me there. And I'm quite afraid at the moment, because it's going to be hard these 10 days. I think it's going to strip everything away. I've seen people who have done the same course, spoken to people, and I'm surprised how they've emerged from it. They talk, yeah, it was hard, you know, they say, and but it was good, it was useful. And it's odd, because where I am now, I can't imagine going through an experience like that and not being changed utterly. I'm quite apprehensive about what I'll be like at the end of the 10 days. Can't imagine that I'll be the same person. I don't know what this says about me, whether I'm just being naive, or whether I'm just being a bit overzealous in the desire to change myself, but that's how it seems. Can't picture that I would come back the same person after an experience like that, being stripped down to the bare essence.